Well, I would like to warmly welcome two members of So Percussion, Josh Quillen and Jason Truding, and great performance, guys. I was hearing it in the other room, and congratulations. Sounds wonderful.
Thank you.
And since coming together at the Yale School of Music in 1999, So Percussion has been creating music that is at turns raucous and touching, barbarous and heartfelt. Realizing that percussion instruments can communicate all the extremes of emotion and musical possibility, it has not been an easy music to define. Called astonishing and entrancing by Billboard magazine, brilliant by the New York Times, the Brooklyn-based quartet's innovative work with today's most exciting composers and their own original music has quickly helped them forge a unique and diverse career. Again, welcome. You are currently here on the Princeton campus for the So Percussion Institute, which began on Saturday, July 25th, and will conclude on Sunday, August 9th. We will talk more about that in just a little while. However, before we get to that, tell us a bit how the group got started.
Well, yeah, you mentioned 1999. You know, we've been making music in some sense since then. It was at that time, it was a grad school phenomenon. You know, we all had very different undergraduate experiences and wanting to kind of focus on contemporary music, right, and chamber music specifically led us to the Yale School of Music and studying in that program. And it was just one of those things where, you know, started working really hard on some pretty, you know, thick contemporary music, you know, just locking ourselves in the basement until, you know, we got it together and was like, hey, this is really fun. We should do this, you know, for other people. We should kind of, you know, work to expand the music that has been written for this quartet and kind of take it everywhere we can.
Yeah. Well, let's go now to you guys when you were very young, before Yale. How did you become interested in music, and were percussion instruments something you always wanted to do?
I remember talking to my mom and dad about, you know, the music the music company or whatever, musical instrument company, came to our school and gave a demo of all the instruments. And, you know, you got to go down and, you know, play the trombone, play the trumpet. And I wanted to play the drum. My mom just had this look on her face like, oh, no, what is about to happen? But I was able to swindle her into buying me a snare drum, which we still have and are actually using here on the So Percussion Summer Institute. I still have my original fifth grade snare drum. And it's just sort of like one of the things we got introduced to a lot, even just like from day one, was just like you always had to figure it out. Like, you know, percussion instruments always in the back of the room were always the worst shape, and they never worked. So you always had to get inventive and just kind of learn how to fix things and make things work. And basically have done that for the last 15 years. And now and so basically all we do is walk around trying to figure out how to make things sound cool and fix stuff. And it's really fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, my experience was very similar, I guess, without the music company. I saw this little blue drum kit on my neighbor's driveway. He was giving it to Goodwill. It was like one of those things, you know, and it had been out. I grew up in Southern California. Never rains in Southern California, but it rained on this drum set while it was sitting on the driveway. And I, like, went up and I asked my dad if we could take it, and he's like, well, you're going to have to ask the man, you know. So he was thinking I wouldn't actually go ask the guy, you know. But so I figured it out, knocked on the door, and kind of begged him for this kit. But the heads were all warped. I mean, it was actually like, you know, it was in the rain, you know, it just didn't work anymore. But my parents were so cool to let me set up in the living room and just figure it out. It's, you know, kind of same story. And I think that's definitely informed something about. So, I mean, we kind of try to just gather anything that we sound cool, you know, that we think sounds cool. So in that case, it was, you know, putting the tom-tom on my living room table because I didn't have another way to get it set up, and putting the bass drum next to it and hitting the table, then hitting the tom and kicking the drum and doing the whole thing, and until that kind of blossomed into, hey, let's, you know, let's take a tin can and see what it sounds like.
That's what I was going to go to next. I mean, some of these composers, people like John Cage, Lou Harrison, they have done so much stuff in terms of making instruments out of anything. Mm-hmm. In fact, I don't know if you know, there's an incredible concerto called the Garbage Concerto by a Canadian composer, Jan Jarvelep. I don't know if you've heard of that.
I haven't. It makes perfect sense, though.
But it's a kind of a composition which you have all these tin cans and even Coke bottles with the orchestra, and it sounds absolutely wild. It's incredible.
Right.
But what you can do with some of these pieces of garbage and tin cans. They have wonderful sounds. Well, now, guys, let's go to repertoire. You have commissioned many works, right? Just very briefly, who are some of the composers who have written specifically for you?
Well, we have commissioned a lot, and you mentioned John Cage and Lou Harrison. That's definitely where we're coming from, and yeah. We love playing you know, music from that kind of tradition, and some Steve Reich music that we played in the studio. Just, you know, kind of that tradition we love to tap into. But in terms of, you know, the work we do, commissioning is definitely like one of the bigger, you know, we're kind of, I think, trying to look towards the future more than looking towards the past, while being psyched and respecting the past, kind of looking forward. So I think, you know, it's kind of been everything from friends of ours we were in grad school with. Actually, tonight, the first piece we commissioned by Dennis DeSantis, it was 1999 or 2000. Dennis is coming to talk with the students. You know, that's like working with our friends. So folks like Dennis DeSantis, Suzanne Farron, Sebastian Zubieta, folks that we were just in school with. And as that kind of, you know, as our community has grown, we've been working with composers, you know, now a lot of composers in New York City, David Lang.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Steve Reich, right? And that's a new piece, that kind of New York scene. And then we're at Princeton because we've worked with a lot of the composers out here. Paul Lansky wrote a wonderful piece we'll be doing out here. Dan Truman, we're working with a lot. And now we're having the chance to work with Steve Mackey. So it's kind of, you know, for us, it's looking for creative people, and it's looking for folks in that community that we can kind of, you know, really be collaborative with.
You know what's so great, too? I'm listening to you. And what you are really doing with your performances of all this contemporary music, you are focusing predominantly on the work that was done in the 19th century when the contemporary music is what was being played. You know, I mean, this is what you're doing, and I mean, this is what's so wonderful, and this is going to, I feel, give a real future to concert music and art music.
I appreciate that. We're hopeful, you know. That's where we're going.
Being influenced by guys like John Cage, like he was a gentleman, and Merce Cunningham just passed away. Yeah. And so like, getting we had a really wonderful chance to hang with Merce.
Oh, you did.
And talk with him and have dinner with him and just hear him tell the stories about what they did. It's basically they were guys that were just trying to keep the pool fresh all the time. They never were like focused on the path. They were always like looking forward, trying to figure out what the next cool new thing was. Mm-hmm. And hanging guys like Paul Lansky, Dan Truman, Steve Mackey, and Mark Danzigers and Susie Farron, like all these people, like
wonderful music,
doing the exact same sort of thing. And I think for us, it's sort of a mission statement to try to keep the pool fresh.
That's the point. Now, of you four in the group, do you all compose?
Mm-hmm.
You all do.
Yeah, Jason does a lot of composing. There's an album we just did called Amid the Noise that came out a couple years ago. That's an album of all of Jason's music with video that his sister did, Janice Truding. Really wonderful disc, and he's composed tons of music since then. But myself and Eric have just gotten into the mix, writing a little bit. And I do some of the stuff I write has been collaborating with Jason, co-writing some stuff.
Yeah,
and it's really fun and really scary all the same
time.
You know? Well, because we're playing on the same concert, we're playing some of our own music, then playing Steve Reich, and then playing Steve Mackey or whatever. So it's like being held up against those giants is a little bit of an intimidating. It's an intimidating thing, but at the end of the day, again, just trying to
keep it going,
keep it fresh, and
that's what we
like.
You know, I think if Adam was still in the studio, he would tell you he's not a composer. He hasn't been writing as much, but there was one piece he wrote about a year ago that he sent around for us. This like, you know, process marimba thing. It's beautiful, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think all of us have that kind of creative energy, and in these different projects we're doing, some, you know, some folks are composing more than others occasionally. But once the piece is in the room, you know, and once somebody either has kind of brought it to the table, or like Josh said, we've had the chance to co-write a little bit. Once it's in the room, man, ideas keep flying around.
Absolutely.
And, you know, what happens, you know, a week after the piece has been brought in, it's like, you know, sometimes you may not even recognize it. You know, it kind of goes places. You know.
Sounds great. Mm-hmm. Now, you are all active in the field of education, and we're going to go now into the So Percussion Summer Institute for a bit. What happens during these exciting 2 weeks? Tell us a bit about the event.
We mold minds, Marvin. We mold minds.
We just as sort of a preface to this, like we travel the country and in the United States a lot, and a little bit in Europe too, in Australia, doing master classes and talking with students and hanging with them and learning a lot more from them than I think they probably learn from us, and just having a really enjoying that experience. And So about a year ago, we were sitting in a bar in, was it Hanover?
Yeah, in Amherst, Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. And just being like, you know, what we do in these little mini residencies that we do when we go places is so much fun. Like, what if we decided to invite 23 kids out and just do it for 2 weeks straight? And at the time, it was like, well, yeah, whatever. And then we just decided to do it. And it's so much fun. Every day the students have like a set amount of rehearsal on these pieces that they're working up. Mm-hmm. They're playing concerts every weekend. And during the week, just having sort of ad hoc.
Are these college students now?
They're all college students. All one doctoral student, a couple master students, and most.
And they're all going to be going into music. I mean, they're. Mm-hmm.
Hopefully. They all at this point are hopeful that music is.
Yeah, that's part of the thing that's been amazing. I mean, it's everything. You know, the students have such a kind of varied experience. Yeah. Everything from somebody just ending the freshman year of college to, like Josh said, a doctoral student, mm-hmm. and so. You know, the students get put in groups oftentimes where they've never met each other, never played together, and are putting together these really serious mm-hmm. pieces of music. And I mean, for us, you know, one of the goals was, I think, to keep the, you know, what we feel, I guess, the standard of the repertoire pretty high. You know, you're going to come in and work on serious music for a couple weeks, having no idea what that was going to mean. And some of these students, I mean, if you were to walk through, you know, the Woolworth Music Building on the second day of the festival, you'd just be like, wow, it sounds like these guys have been working on stuff for 3 weeks. I mean, they just showed up just like really gung-ho, ready
really
to talk about
it.
Stuff. Yeah, and we'll do. It's been amazing. We're trying to throw as many ideas at them as we can, and we keep thinking we may overload them, and everybody's just kind of psyched for more. So it's been wonderful.
You've got great inspiration.
Man, it's a good, yeah.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
And they keep us on our toes.
Like you say, keeps it fresh.
Oh, wow. Exactly. There's this piece I'm playing in a duo with one of the students, and... You know, it's not an easy piece.
Which one is that?
It's a piece called Lion Lying Down by a friend of mine named Mark Danzigers. Oh. And I commissioned the piece a couple years ago. And at the time, it was like, you know, a lot really difficult to put together, and played it a bunch. And, you know, I walked in expecting to have like a full week of like really slogging it out to put it together. And we just like read it down. And he just looks at me. He's like, was that okay? Like, well, now I have nothing to do for this week, Bob. Like, well done, buddy. So it's really, really exciting.
Let's go to the concerts now. You have an upcoming concert on Saturday, August 8th. I know you've just finished one on the 1st, and you've got one on August 8th. Why not? And it will be held in Taplin Auditorium in Fine Hall right here on campus at 8:30 p.m. Tell us about the concert that's coming up and the ones that you've just had. Repertoire.
You know, the one coming up is kind of our finale of sorts. It's a chance for all the students to play. We kind of programmed some of the pretty solid pieces from the repertoire. Yeah. Everything from John Cage's Third Construction, which is wonderful piece, and kind of some of the oldest music we play, to some of the newest commissions we've had from Paul Lansky and David Lang. And we're not going to be on stage, I think, at all. This concert that's coming up is all the students kind of driving it themselves. And the show we just did was a little bit different. We're all having a chance to play with the students a little bit, you know, being able to, like Josh said, play with them and teach them some of the music. But the kind of finale concert in Taplin is all, you know, it's going to be all students playing some really serious repertoire. I think you'll be totally impressed if you can make it out.
Yeah, I also saw, I guess, one you just did. You've done music of Xenakis.
Yeah, exactly. This.
Wow, that's great. I mean, I happen to love his stuff, and I was very excited when I saw it.
I think if you were to look at, you know, everything that's on the festival, it'd be, you know, pretty eclectic.
Quite a variety, too.
From Takemitsu, we haven't mentioned, you know, just kind of beautiful color, you know, color-driven music to, like you said, Xenakis and Reich. We're kind of all over the place a little bit in these 2 weeks, and it's been great.
Very exciting. Well, let's go now, because I'm sure after this there are many, many people out there that want to know more about So Percussion. What is your website address? It's a very thorough website.
The website is www.sopercussion.com. That's sopercussion.com. And you can go there, and there's links to the Summer Institute, and there's links to a bunch of recordings. There's some free downloads of just some sort of science projects that we've got growing in the fridge that we're sort of letting people just have. There's links to various things, and sort of feel free to get on there and dig around. It's a lot of fun.
Sounds good. Well, let's go now. This might be kind of a controversial question, but I don't think so. What, in your opinion, is the most misunderstood fact about music for percussion ensemble? I mean, when people hear percussion, do they always associate, do you think, the whole, like we were talking about, the banging with the tin cans, mm-hmm. That people don't understand that, let's say, that they're in percussion music, there's an awful lyrical side to a lot of it.
I would say that one of the most misunderstood things is just that this is going to sound very simple. It's just that people sometimes think that it's very easy to do.
Good point. Yeah, I would say that
and I understand that viewpoint, because you come and you see, it's a very, like, watching people play percussion is a very simple action to watch. You know, you pick up a stick and you hit something. As opposed to watching a clarinet player who's doing a lot of complex things, or a violin player who's doing very complex things, and you can see that and you're like, wow, that's really complex. Hitting a flower pot with a stick isn't all that complex of an action, but when you put it in context and piece it together with a bunch of other things, it is really complex. And if you look at the score for Third Construction by John Cage, you would see really quickly that it is a really highly organized piece that takes a lot of time to put to put together.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
agree? That's a good answer. Yeah, I agree. I often get the question after some of the more lyrical pieces that we play. Strange, I think I'd say John Cage's Third Construction is one of the most lyrical pieces we play. Like, a lot of line in the the way the parts are put together. But even some of the vibraphone music we play from Paul Lansky's piece Threads, you know, folks will come up afterwards and just be like, how does that look on the page? Is that, you know, written musical notation, you know? And when you show them, it looks like, it's like, oh wow, it looks just like a piano part, you know? It's like,
and it does,
yeah, exactly.
That's right.
You know, we do read music percussion. You know? That's one of the most misunderstood.
Well, one of the things that we feel strongly about, and I think it just sort of naturally gravitates towards is not feeling pigeonholed by the word percussion. I mean, by things that you have to hit, strike, or shake to make a percussionist. And we have, on some of the concerts, you'll see a foot pedal organ, this little parlor organ from the early 1900s. You'll see a cactus and a pod rattle, or
we were just playing some melodicas that you blow into on one of those tracks.
Or a record or whatever. And this is highly influenced by John Cage. He was very much along those lines of just kind of whatever makes an interesting sound, use it.
You know, and also when you think of percussion ensembles, you're not just playing one instrument like person learns a clarinet. It's a whole family of instruments, and they all have their own technique.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that is one of the things we talk about often. Kind of every time we show up to work, we're learning a new instrument
in
some way.
Yeah, and that sounds that sounds extreme. That's extremely exciting.
Totally.
Well, let's kind of just go to one more thing here. What is coming up for you guys musically? Concerts coming up in the upcoming season? New recordings coming up? What can we look forward to?
We have a big new project coming out for the BAM Next Wave Festival, called Imaginary City, which is it's going to be 4 nights in October, of an original work, 70 minutes long, with video and a bunch of crazy stuff. And we're kind of taking that on tour throughout the year to a bunch of different cities where we've gathered video from these cities and kind of put together a really cool. We think it's a cool project.
I'm sure.
We also have some really interesting commissions. We're premiering the Steve Mackey piece, the Dan Truman piece, at Carnegie Hall in March.
Exciting.
Getting a new piece from Steve Reich, and
we do have a couple of records in the work. We're working hard to get two out next year. Paul Lansky's Threads. Hoping to release that as an EP early 2010. And we've been working for a long, long time with this duo Matmos, who was actually just on campus playing with Plork. We did a show with them in May. We've been working on this album for, you know, what seems like 12 years. I think it's been more like 2 years, but we've been really kind of nitpicky and making it all work, and we're really excited about that. We're going to be touring that, maybe a year from now, but be on the lookout.
You also mentioned that you have an upcoming performance in like a coffee house, or tell us a bit about
that.
Yeah,
I wanted to mention that. We're playing a Small World, actually, on Friday.
Oh.
Which would be Friday the 7th.
The Small World on Witherspoon.
Okay. Oh, I know where that is.
Yeah, I mean, we'll be out there. A lot of the students, or all the students, will be out there. I think it's a chance, like Josh mentioned, you know, to kind of show off some of our science projects. You know, I think there'll be, this week, you know, the students are working on so much music for this show on Saturday, but kind of anything else that we're getting together, we'll have some fun music out there, probably some Steve Reich music, some John Cage music, and then some stuff that we've been working on too. So,
I want to thank you all for coming today, and the two who stayed here to do this.
The other two are working very hard right now.
Yeah, exactly. I'm they're working on Zanakis. That's what you know.
But thank you so much. We've been here with two members of So Percussion, Josh Quillen and Jason Truding. And thanks so much, guys. Nothing but the best. And you are doing incredible work in keeping the mental mind going.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks. It was great to have you. Thanks.